Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Spiritual Leader. I am with the most beautiful host of all, the hostess of the mostess, Laura Lee Baldwin.
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back. In black. And brown today.
But. I'm back in brown. I like it. Hey, you're very witty. You're witty out of the gate today.
You know. Gotta keep up with you.
Is the Holy Spirit helping you?
He's always helping.
The Holy Spirit's a helper. We actually want to talk about the Holy Spirit today.
Yeah.
AKA the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. We've been ministering here at the church. I'll just say this, Laura. The Holy Spirit has been... I said it recently preaching, something the Lord said to me a few years ago. That being the Holy Spirit is the key to all of what is Christianity. The Holy Spirit is the key to Christianity.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it one more time. The Holy Spirit is the key to Christianity. And, you know, just from the very onset for me, I'm sure you have your own, you know, testimony and story and experiences with the Holy Spirit. It's just, it's mind-boggling to let me ask you this question. Can you imagine living the Christian life without the Holy Spirit?
I mean, then you're only reliant on your natural senses, really.
Yeah.
And your own reasoning and you know, breaking things down and analyzing and deducing. And
do you see this? Do you see this in the body of Christ? Do you see?
Yeah, that's...
What would be people...
Yeah.
Living, to me, it seems like it'd be, you'd be just relying on the knowledge of God without the experience of someone to walk with you in the knowledge of God. It's crazy just to think about what does a Christian look like that has no knowledge or working relationship with the Holy Spirit? It's crazy.
Yeah.
To even think about it. But I want to kind of start, we're going to do a couple podcasts on this, but I want to start by... looking at Jesus and his earthly ministry, because it's so powerful. I actually had this pulled up.
And he is our example.
He is the example. Yeah. And anyway, I don't have time to get into my little theology soapbox, but Jesus laid aside his deity. This is one of the keys to unlocking the New Testament. It's one of the keys to unlocking Christianity. And unfortunately, it seems like very limited as to the number of Christians that understand. Jesus was God.
Yes.
Okay? He was God, but he laid aside his deity.
Yeah, he chose.
He chose to do that.
Yeah.
So he operated.
To walk as a man, to live as a man.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if we'll see here in a second, Luke chapter 3, Jesus lived 33 years in this earth realm as a man. He lived 30 years as a Jew under the Jewish law. That's the whole reason Israel was formed as a nation. One of the original reasons was to birth the Son of God, to live under God's law. So everybody's about keeping the law, but the law was made for one man, Jesus, who was born under the Jewish law. He kept the law. But for 30 years, Laura, he never did anything supernatural in the sense of what we think supernatural. Never worked a miracle, never did anything, until we see in Luke 3, verse 22, and it says this, if you know the story, Jesus went to John the Baptist, his cousin, right, in the wilderness, to be baptized of him, to fulfill prophetic scriptures that he would be baptized. He was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Cool name, huh? John the Baptist baptizing people. I thought that was kind of cool. But
Way cool. That's probably why he was known as John the Baptist.
John the Baptizer. John the Baptist. So Jesus comes. John says, there's no way I'm baptizing you, man. This is way too much for me. And he did it. And as Jesus is coming up out of the water, it says here, Luke 3:22, the Holy Spirit, glory to God, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form.
Yeah.
Now let's look at this for a minute. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form.
Yeah.
That means a person descended and came upon the man, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? And it says, a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Other translations pretty much all say the same thing. The Holy Spirit descended on him. Holy Ghost descended upon him. Descended. Everything's descended. So we know that from this moment, we see one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Luke chapter 4. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where it says he was tempted of the devil for 40 days, right? He fasted supernaturally. He fasted for 40 days. Then at the end of that, Luke 4:18, he returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at this quickly in the order of it. He's now, God is revealing him in his public ministry. Before this time, no miracles, signs, wonders. All of a sudden, he's baptized by John. He enters into his earthly ministry of, you know, representing the Father God, etc. From the time he goes out into the wilderness, the Holy Spirit led him there. He's obviously got a hold of something by the Holy Spirit. He comes back in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? He begins his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
What do we see from that time forward? We see miracles, signs, wonders, supernatural things. Everything, but it started with the Holy Spirit coming upon him.
Yeah.
Which is like, wow, why is this so hard for us to kind of get a hold of? To see the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Because I like what one of our ministry friends says, another minister, he says, everybody wants to go to Jesus. They would assume that Jesus operated as God, right? But it's inaccurate. It's not, I didn't say he wasn't God, because he was God, but he did not operate as God. If you remember on the cross, or leading up to that point, Jesus made a statement. He said, I can call 10,000 of my angels, 10,000s of my angels right now to end all this.
Yeah.
He could have operated as God.
Yeah.
You talk about restraint. He didn't operate as God, although he did. So how did Jesus operate? We're going to get into this here in a second. How did Jesus operate?
Yeah.
He operated as a man. He was God. He was the Son of God, but he operated as a man, right? Now we see how this thing works, okay? The Holy Spirit comes upon him. Now we see Jesus stepping into what we would call his earthly ministry. All of the supernatural things, I'm just going to say this because it's so good. Every supernatural thing Jesus did in his earth ministry came as a result of his absolute connection with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Period.
There was a partnership. All of a sudden, they're in partnership.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's how this worked. And we're going to get into in the next podcast talking about how we are also called to live in submission to the Holy Spirit.
Because Jesus is our standard. And really what he is showing is what's possible. For every man that came after him, he's showing us what's possible, and he's showing us the way.
He showed us the way.
Yeah.
Period. So basically what you're saying is Jesus is showing you and I, us, he's showing us what a man anointed by the Holy Spirit can do.
Yeah. Yeah. And walking in partnership, connection, fellowship, and union. Yeah.
Does this kind of stir something in you to say, wow.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like, this now makes it what because everybody, and we should, this is a thin little line here, little space here. We elevate Jesus, right? Let me qualify what I'm saying here. We elevate Jesus in his earth ministry, and we do it by saying he's Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's God's son. But that actually is scripturally incorrect.
Yeah.
Because he did not operate as God.
Yeah.
So we've got to clear this up, because this is the whole key. This is the whole key to this whole thing working is, yes, he was the Son of God, but he laid aside his deity. How did he operate? As a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. I remember having a couple of pastors that really kind of took issue with that. But I'm like, guys, it's right there in front of you. It says specifically, Philippians, he laid aside his deity. Mm-hmm. He didn't operate as God. He operated as a man. He lived under the Jewish law, fulfilled the law, anointed by the Spirit. Why is that important? Because that's how we live.
Yeah.
We live, you said it, he's the standard. Mm-hmm. He showed the way. This is what it looks like, guys. Now, you're going to be anointed with the Spirit. Therefore, you can do the same things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Not in our free will. Mm-hmm. This is where we miss it. Because we want to just take the knowledge and the information and run with it and do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
That's not how Jesus operated. Let's look at a couple of these scriptures real quick because it's so good. Where are we at here? Let's see. I have John. Well, we'll get into that in a second. I got a different scripture here. Hold on a second. Dead space. All right, so it says, listen to this. So Jesus said this. I didn't have the heading here, but we'll find it and give it to you in the next one. Maybe you can look it up. It says this. Jesus said, I only do, right, what I see the Father do. Now, this is an interesting scripture here because I actually didn't connect the dots on this one until just in recent times. But Jesus said, I only do. Now, in his earth ministry, so Jesus said this. I only do.
Yeah.
I, Jesus, only do what I see the Father do.
Yeah.
Okay? I got a cool book title on this, only. I only do what I see the Father do. How? Now, here's the key. Oh, he said, I only say what I hear the Father say. Mm-hmm. I only do what I see the Father do. So two things, saying and doing. Jesus said both of those things, which is all action in Jesus' life originated with the Father.
Yeah.
The Father God. Mm-hmm. So the Father God, Jesus only did what he saw the Father do and what he only so said good. What he heard the Father say.
Yeah.
But then I thought, how did Jesus hear from the Father? And then I saw the scripture where it says John 16, verse 14 and 15, it says this, King James, he, the Holy Spirit, John 14, John's chapter 14, 15, 16, they have a lot about the Holy Spirit, right?
Yep.
And I didn't see this as clearly as I have until today. Jesus actually gave us firsthand instruction on how we are to operate with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, firsthand instruction? He's actually telling us what he did.
Yeah.
I didn't connect this as clearly as until this morning. Jesus partnered with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Then he told us how to do it.
Yeah.
So he's saying here in John 16, the Holy Spirit shall, verse 14 and 15, the Holy Spirit shall glorify me because he shall receive from me and he'll show it unto you.
Yeah.
So basically another verse of this along these lines says, he'll take what is the Father's and he'll show it to you.
Yeah.
Somebody said the Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own. That's a complicated scripture. But he does take from the Father and he gives it to you.
Yes.
But here's the key. That's how Jesus did it.
Yeah.
Jesus operated with the Holy Ghost.
Well, John 5 is where you were asking. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son could do nothing by himself. He does, well, that's a submitted life. He could do, I guess. He could do whatever he wanted, but he chose to live a submitted life, consecrated. So he said, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. Mm. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does.
So what's the missing, what's the unspoken kind of subject of
that? The Holy Spirit is getting from the Father and he's relaying that information.
Yeah, because and he says that. That's what I just read in John 16.
Exactly.
He's taking.
Connecting the two.
Yeah. So Jesus operated. How did he, Laura, you just nailed it on the head. Jesus lived in total submission to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Which is interesting because you said, well, you've said several times lately, like, can we only do what the Holy Spirit is instructing us or directing us to do? Which again, the instructions, the direction, it's coming from the Father. So that's, you know, that's where it's coming from. It's through the pipeline. But it's very powerful because Jesus lived that way. He only did. He only said what he saw his father do, what he heard his father say. And you see the results of that. It's powerful.
It's very powerful. I heard your dad, who pastored here for many, many years, he said this one time, Jesus was the most unoriginal man that ever lived on the earth.
It's so wild, too, because when you live a life like that, and we're talking about Jesus right now, but when you live a life like that, it is an absolute life. It is a life of consecration, but it's also a life of humility. Like, there's just absolute humility there because it's not about my will, what I want to do, how I want to be seen, how I want to be portrayed, whatever it may be. This is not about me. I'm only saying. But also in that place, because Psalms 91 talks about like being in the secret place and abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. And then Psalms 91, we know it's like the whole chapter of protection.
Yeah.
But protection comes, divine supernatural protection comes from living in that place, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. And I really do believe abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, that is a place of consecration. That is a place of it's that prostrate, that humility. Because if you're only doing, if you're only saying, then you know there's going to be that supernatural, that divine protection. And there was for Jesus until his time came
for him
to surrender his life willingly. Yeah.
And that was even in connection with the Holy
Ghost. Yes, because listen, there were some other instances. Remember, there were some angry mobs and he just walked right through them. What was that? Divine protection.
They couldn't touch him.
Divine protection. And how did that come about? Because he was abiding in the shadow of the Almighty.
Yeah, you're kind of stirring up in me the John 15, which is, if you think about it, I just said it earlier, John 14, 15, 16 really do talk about
abiding.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But 15, 5 talks about the vine. Mm-hmm. And if you really think about that, in between John 14 and 16 is 15, which says, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, you almost could say abide. It is abiding in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that in another podcast, talking about how to actually live in Christ.
Yeah.
Because we give a lot of knowledge about this message of being in Christ. But I'm going to tell you my experience of this, and I've seen it firsthand. People get a hold of that message, and it becomes something that was never intended to be.
Yeah.
It becomes I'm empowered.
Yeah.
But it's not that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Laura, the in Christ message, it has the tendency to get off because it focuses on me.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what Christ did in redeeming us is he actually made us new creatures that are now suitable to house the Holy Spirit.
That's so good.
That's what the new birth did.
Yeah.
It made us righteous. And yes, we need to be bold and confident in our righteousness in him. But it's not a free ticket to do whatever we want to do in him and with his power.
Yeah,
it's
quite
not
the opposite.
It's actually a death.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Paul had it.
It's no longer I that lives.
Paul got it.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I died.
Yeah.
So now I'm alive, but what am I alive to? I'm alive now to the will of God that is ministered through me by the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
And it's interesting because when Jesus, going back to him being baptized by John the Baptist, and you know, when we get baptized, it's like we're going under the water, the watery grave, and it's like we're shedding that old man.
Totally.
We're coming back as a new man. And that's kind of interesting. I wonder if there was some symbolism there also with Christ. Like, okay, he was always fully submitted, but just symbolically, like, okay, I'm fully submitted. Like, anything that might try and do their own thing, nope, that's dead. It's staying in that watery grave. I am completely committed, consecrated to the Father.
That's the place that God needs all of us to get to.
Yeah. That's what it was intended to be like.
Yeah.
When because it says we do greater works.
Wow.
The greater works come when we're all living that life. We're all submitted. We're all consecrated. We're connected and joined.
That's it.
To the Holy Spirit. And when each believer lives that way, yeah, we're going to do greater works because the multiplication that takes place all over the earth.
Yep.
Jesus is the standard, and he showed us the way.
This is so crazy, Laura, and we'll kind of wrap this one up on this. Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan, Luke 3. The Spirit of God descends on him. From the very beginning of that, it says, look it up and read it for yourself, Luke 3 on into chapter 4. It said, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah.
He is now submitted to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. I don't believe, Laura, there was not a day in his earth ministry where Jesus was not fully submitted to the Holy Spirit. Now, go to the end of his earth ministry, the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. Now, he had a moment there.
Yeah.
He had a moment where he said, Father, is there any other way for this cup to pass from before me? I don't want to do this. So he had a, is it safe to say he had a moment where he recognized he had a flesh too. He had a body and a soul.
Yeah.
Just like we do, although it was not touched by sin. He wasn't under a curse of sin. He was fully righteous. But even in that moment, he said, nevertheless, not my will. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen this before. That was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace.
Yeah.
Helped Jesus right then to fully, that was the final act of submission that he had in this earth. So he started being led by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And before his crucifixion and the whole thing, he ended by submission to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Even powerful. On the cross, he said this. He said, Father, I give my spirit to you.
Yeah.
He was fully submitted. He could have commanded angels to come. And who knows what would have happened after that, but he didn't. He fully submitted to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, period.
Yeah.
You can look at it however you want. But this, and you nailed it, and this is where we'll pick it up in the next podcast. This is the job of every believer now.
Yeah.
To live in submission to
possible.
The Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll jump into that and talk about how we're to partner with the Holy Ghost. This is not a free agency. You know, if you're listening, unfortunately, I don't know where this selfish version of Christianity came from. It's not God. At the heart of Christianity, there's a death involved, and it's my death. It wasn't just Jesus' death. I died. Now I'm, as a Christian, I'm not called to do what I want to do. I died in Christ. Now my job is to live only for the Father. And like Laura said, when all of us do that, it will be the most powerful move on the earth.
The glory will fill the earth.
The glory will fill the earth as all Christians live fully submitted to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lauren, I love you. We'll see you next week. God bless you.